There's a real cry out there today, everywhere, I think, of a people that just know it's over with. Christ is coming. It's time to get right. Francis Bacon, I believe it was, said, all colors agree in the dark. You know, if you don't know whether it's black, white, or red, you know, if you turn all the lights out. But when you turn that light back on, then you begin to distinguish what's there and what's not there. And I think the light's coming on, and a lot of hungry folks are just really seeing what's real, and their heart is one cry for that reality. It has been a wonderful week. I was talking to my wife a few minutes ago. She never came. I didn't want her to send her back to Texas by herself. I'm heading the other direction. And so I was talking to her about this week and how wonderful it was. And she said, you're going to be tired for that long journey. I said, oh, you don't get tired in this atmosphere. Amen. This Holy Ghost said, he quickened your mortal body. That's a truism, folks. That's the truth of God. He will quicken your mortal body. You just stay full of him, walk with him, be true to him. Paul wrote these words of the song tonight, the first one especially, to young Timothy. He wrote, that's the last writing of Paul, first and second Timothy. He died, then 25, 30 years later, John died. And that was the end of the apostolic writing. But writing those last words to that young preacher, guard the deposit. No, he knew the danger. He said, grievous wolves are going to come in here, and they're going to come for one thing. That's to take away what you know to be truth. They're going to rise up among you. Those are going to not going to be from the outside. You don't have to worry about the outside. It is when Ananias and Sapphira get at the altar that you've really got to begin to worry. What that world does out there can't hurt us. The church has to have persecution. We have to have pressure to remind us that we don't belong here. But it's when it's on the inside. He said to Timothy, said to the church, grievous wolves are going to come after my departure. They're going to come. They're going to rise up. But he said to that young man whom he had such confidence in and had trained, discipled, and had just trained him to take his place almost, he said, guard that deposit. Do the work of an evangelist. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. Time's going to come when they're not going to endure this, not going to believe this, but you preach it anyway. You preach it anyway. I'm so glad to be a living in the day we're living in. I told my wife, I said, you know, if I didn't believe that we're right on the threshold, I would hope that I was a little younger. But I said, since I believe he's coming, I'm glad where I am, because I've enjoyed and saw a whole cross-section of it in my lifetime. I just saw the church rise and fall and rise again in that remnant. I'm going to read tonight in the book of Amos. The book of Amos. That's on page 663. And your Bible, just turn over there. That's just before you get to Obadiah. Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. Father, thank you to bless this word tonight. This final lesson in the name of Jesus. Amen. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop down sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That sounds like a time I want to live in. What a verse of scripture. The days come when the plowman overtake the reaper. You know, this is a prophecy of a day of abundance. Amos, looking from that Old Testament window, said there's going to come such a day when God will actually visit this earth, when the plowman's going to be in that field getting ready to plant before they ever get all the harvest out of the field. Said he's going to overtake the reaper. There's going to be such an abundance of harvest that they're not going to be able to gather it out of the field because they're going to have to get back in there. If there's going to be something planted next year, going to have to break that ground up for that coming early rain. And the harvest is going to be so great. We have a picture here, I believe, a visitation of heaven. True, it's an Old Testament prophecy, but it has to do with the church because that is the ultimate thing with God. It is the church always in view, and God said whatever was written aforetime was written that I might know. And here he's talking about a visitation of God from eternity past to eternity present. It's always been that church that God is after, that bride for his son, that body that he's coming for. It's always been that. Now the prophet is looking across the ages and sees a harvest so great, so tremendous, that if the plowman is going to have the field ready for next year's planting, he's going to have to get in that field before everything last year's crop has been gathered. He said the mountains drop down wide, hills melting. This is revival beyond our ability to imagine. This is a visitation of God upon us that we never dreamed of. Now, with these thoughts in mind, I think if you'd read the prophecies of Joel, where he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, said the apostle Peter. When he spoke whose message pertained to the harvest of the end time, in the last days, saith God, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, there are those who think that the church is going to be cowering in a corner, trying to escape, trying to hide as this age ends. Now, we may be bruised and battered, but I can tell you the real church, it'll be because we've been storming the walls of hell. We've been reaching for the lost. We've dared to go where God told us to go. It's not going to be. There's those that preach against the rapture as some kind of an escape. The only escape is the wrath of God. He's not appointed me to that wrath. There will be tribulation. In the world, he said, you shall have tribulation. The church is not going to be trying to hide from the devil. We're going to be probing, pressing the envelope to the limit. Now, some preach that the church cannot expect revival, that the age will end with a falling away. They say all we can look for is to hold our own until Jesus comes. This is fatalism and leads the church to believe that some have been born to be lost and others have been born to be saved. All of this leads to the fatalistic view where it turns the church in on itself. I declare to you tonight, church, we have everything to do with revival. If you don't believe in revival, then there's no revival coming to you. If you don't believe that revival is possible, you're never going to reach out for revival. The church must believe God. We must believe he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And that outpouring will become to a vessel that has been prepared for such a thing. Never been a work of God done without a human instrument. When God wanted a nation, he called an Abraham. To preserve it, he called a Joseph. To deliver it, he called a Moses. To instruct it, he called prophets. Always there was a vessel prepared for the work of God. When Holy Spirit came the first time, it didn't fall on Jerusalem. It fell on 120 people that God had prepared for the moment and threw them to a world. I can tell you in this camp meeting and the people sitting in this audience, there are those God is preparing for this final onslaught of God, and the church must believe in revival. We must believe that God is bigger than the circumstances of our time, that God will yet visit this planet Earth. Every time I look at these young men, I look at Darren, I look at Brian, I look at the young men across, I look at this young man leading the singing. I talk to a young man here called to be a missionary. Amen. This young lady with him, Brother Dave's daughter. I said, oh, as long as God puts his hand on people like this, I can tell you he hadn't give up on this human race. No, no, no use calling a man if he's not going to reach. But as long as he continues to lay his hands on these Timothys, he's saying to me, I've not give up. I will touch this earth. I will flow. There is coming a harvest, mister. God is going to work. If you don't believe it, then you'll see it, but you'll get stomped to death in the gate. God is going to give a feast in this end time. Sure as we're here tonight, all you can look for is fatalism. The church, then that's what you're going to have. Now, whether we believe in revival or not is not to do, has nothing to do with what's going to happen, except for your part. You're the one. Whether we believe it or not, if we can be sold the pessimistic view that the day of revival is past, then it's past for you. It's over with. It's over. But if we believe, there's no victory. There's no victory for you. If you don't believe in healing, then don't worry. Nobody's going to heal you. Don't feel like being a fanatic. Just walk on. But if you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you can stand up and know that God has still got his eye on this earth. He's still looking. The picture in the Bible is a different picture from what a lot of church people believe. Things will happen on a colossal scale. They that know their God will do exploits, said the prophet Daniel. And the glory of that latter house is going to be greater than the former. Samson killed more of the enemy in his death than he did in all of his life put together. I believe we're about to pull the roof in on the devil before we get out of here. There's going to be a testimony that something has passed this way. The wind is going to blow one more time. Hallelujah to God. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now considering the birth of the church, the day of Pentecost, a group of 120 people by sovereign act of God were constituted the vessel of the Lord by sovereign act of the Holy Spirit. From that moment, the church fanned out across the earth, toppling empires, bringing the gospel, planting it along the major highways of the world. Nothing could stop them. They have no cars, PA systems, drums, print and press. They have God, and they shook a wall to its foundation. Oh God, you're going to do it again, and I want to be a part of that. You can whine around and wonder why he don't visit you. Then you're going to have to wake up and know there's a reason God is working in places. Somebody believed that he would work, and somebody moved in that direction. That's the key to it all. The church he will rapture will be as victorious as the one born on the day of Pentecost. If you want to know what he's coming after, then have a look at that upper room. This thing wasn't born Baptist. It wasn't born Methodist. It wasn't born Catholic. It is born talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It is Pentecost in its birth, and it will be Pentecostal in its rapture. Oh, hallelujah. The end is always contained in the beginning. This thing, this gospel, I said the other night, Abraham followed the sun. That rebel seed of Cain went east. Out of it has come all of this Hindu, Buddha, and everything else. That gospel followed the sun. I'm telling you, it's left both oceans. It's right back where it started in Middle Asia among that Muslim world. We've got at least 5,000 converts. I just talked to Andre. They're begging me to come, to put it in the Uzbek language. That is the most spoken language outside of the Russian in the former Russian Empire. They got a man to translate. Please come and stay in Tashkent till we can get it in this language. Mister, that's where it started in that world. That's where it's ending in that world. It began Pentecostal. It will end Pentecostal. It started in victory. He'll be raptured in victory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. He's not coming after a broke down religious machinery. No, no, what he started with. We, the people of God, need to reread the account of the book of Acts concerning the day of Pentecost when that church was born. You need to go back and reread that. For it's there you understand what he came for and what he's going to come for again. By an act of the Holy Spirit, they became the vessel of God. 120. The rest of the book of Acts is the outworking of the Holy Ghost through that church born on the day of Pentecost. Thousands are born. Cripples are healed. Dead are raised to life. Demons are coming out. Hypocrites are falling dead. The earth is shaken by the presence of that church. Mr. God is there among them. And a community is frightened. They weren't tolerated. They weren't a civil rights tool. They were God. They were the kingdom of God on this earth. Men knew, men feared him. No man just joined himself to that. They knew God was among that. If that wasn't revival, mister, on the birthday of the church, then there'd never been a revival in the history of the world. Never been. But if the church was born in revival, I promise you it will be raptured in a revival. It will be raptured. Simon Peter, only a few days before, was so frightened by a little maid and a crowd that had denied him. Amen. Faced the mob. After the day of Pentecost, he stood up, faced the mob, and began to preach. You crucified this son, and preached the most profound gospel message you'll ever read. There was revival, victory, power. Men fell crying, what must we do to be saved? That was true in the beginning. And down the road, I can tell you, it's going to be true again. Yes, sir. The church will yet be reckoned with. The church will be heard from. The church he's coming after. Hell will be glad when we're gone, mister. Oh, hallelujah. If we look at organized religion in its effort to save the world through its programs and psychology of religion, we might be led to believe that Christ will settle less for less than what he said. You listen to that foolishness. You may believe and come to believe that he's going to settle for an imitation or less than he started with. But if he were to settle for less than he began with, then he failed in building a church. But he cannot fail. I said he cannot fail. He's God, the same yesterday, today. He'll be the same tomorrow. He said, I'll build my church. I've looked at it 1,000 times. I've almost hyperventilated. I can hear the wind blowing through that upper room. Unsure men became sure of themselves because they're sure of God. That wind said, he sat down at the right hand of God, and the enemy is under his feet. I'm in him. I'm a victor. I can do whatever he said I can do. The excitement of that moment when you read it, then you know something about what he's coming after. You know something about what he's coming after. He said he would do, he will do. The same church lives today. The people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost constitute that church. Build it together for a habitation of God by the Spirit. That's the only reason we're here. That God, by the Holy Ghost, may live in us. He is everywhere by us. I had a lady in the church, vice president of a bank, brilliant lady, wonderfully filled with God, holy lady. She come to me and she said, Brother Clendenin, You can't believe what goes on in that bank. The filth they pass around. They just pass around. The things that go on. You think I ought to quit? Oh, I said, my dear sister, there's no way God can be in that bank unless you're there. I don't care where you go on this earth. You're going to run into that. You just not be a part of it. That's what makes the light shine. Strike a match in this place now you wouldn't know is burning. Turn out these lights and strike it, and you'll know something's come on. In the midst of this darkened world, Jesus said we're to shine as light. Let your light shine. Let this river flow. Be bold for God. Stand up and be counted. They've called us everything from gypsies to demon-possessed. But we've survived all their criticism. We're coming out on the other side. They've accepted the invitation. I promise you, when that upper room of the Pentecost is alive again, organized religion will surely set itself against us. Constantine didn't embrace that religion of the upper room. It's been prostituted 1,000 times by the time it got to him. But that will be renewed. There will be a church. There will be a God. God will make himself real in this earth. The only vessel of proclamation is that church. There is no other voice. Whatever she sounds, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for that battle? If there's not a certainty about what we say, and be no hope so, I believe, I think. I've heard enough of that foolishness out of preachers. If you don't know it, don't say it. Don't talk about what you think. I told people all along, I don't know much. I don't tell you what I know. I know it good. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I've tested it over 50 years nearly. It's a reality. I don't talk about what I think. I look into that. I don't talk about what I might be. No use in preaching that. But when you stand up and say, this is the way, walk in it. A tested way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I believe that all that I can expect is to hold my own, everything is lost. In a warfare, the most costly position is a defensive position. That's the most costly. In Vietnam, we lost thousands of young men who didn't have to be lost. If we had have fought that war like we fought World War II, we'd have been in Hanoi in 2 weeks. Listen, you can't win by hiding in a trench. The church can't hide behind the doors of a church building. You've got to invade the territory. There's no possibility. The casualties are astronomical. Look at the backsliders all over this country. Casualties of a church that dug a trench. Going to protect our little turf. Our turf is the earth. That's the Lord's. When Paul came to town, he immediately talked about the kingdom of God. You know what he was doing? Serving notice on the devil. I've come to take it back what Adam gave away, boy. Amen. He said, I fought the beast of Ephesus. You know what that meant? The devil said, I have this city. It's a world of idolatry. And I'm not giving it up. Paul said, I fought the beast. History said it's one of the greatest churches this earth ever knew anything about. Over 100,000 active members with 100 associate pastors spread across the earth with the gospel. Oh, said the beast said, you can't be, I fought that beast. I fought that beast. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't play dead. And you can't hide inside of this building and expect anything. He will destroy, but we must attack him. Attack him. We must shout this gospel down the streets. Shout it. Find him in the church. Find him in the street. Find him everywhere if we're going to win this thing. It cannot be a hiding in a corner. There's no way to fight a defensive war. The church is in a warfare. When she digs a trench in an effort to hold her on, then the casualties are astronomical. They may sit on the church pew, but you know they're lost. Their heart is lost. Amen. You stick the church in a hole to peep out every now and then at the Goliath when he's growling, and you're going to die. When we come out of the trench and charge the enemy, we'll find the victory. We'll find no victory, no revival. Has been a thought among a lot of people. They saw that what's going on isn't a true revival. And they turned and said there can't be any revival. Cause something, no, everything to happen. There are no in-betweens. It is God, it's not. We went to Beaumont years ago, started that church. Revival came. Had a little tin building about sizes from here to the post. And the restroom was right by the pulpit. It wasn't a silent flush. I'm telling you, it was everything against us. But oh, how God did move. I went down on a Monday morning, Brother Duke had to put every chair up. We kicked every one of them over. Amen. I mean the glory flowing. People saved. People filled. Amen. I'd had one service one Sunday in the psalm service. 9 people got the baptism. While we're singing, we got hung up on one of them songs. We had it there. Somebody said, you're working something up. I said, that's right. You got to prime that pump. But when it gets to coming out, keep it coming. Oh, hallelujah. 9 people got the baptism. I received an offering priest. 6 come to get saved. And by 1 o'clock, 3 of them had received the baptism. I went to Monday to a fellowship meeting. Oh, it was this kind. The good presbyter got up when he preached his sermon after this. And part of his sermon, this is 1956. The only church in town was American as it was that one. That's where we at. Oh, that tin building, I'm telling you, Hades wasn't 6 foot from that pulpit in the summer. And the North Pole came on it in the winter. Man, to get over in that air-conditioned building. And he's up there preaching, and he said, he preached against that air condition. I mean, I said, he's run out of something to say this morning. Preached against that air condition. He said, it's known fact, it'll take 10 years off your life. Adrian, I told the man next to me, I said, I signed up for 120, but I'll settle 110 cool ones, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. In the course of his message, he said, I'm an ignorant man. You didn't have to tell me that. I recognized that back down the line of faith. Right off the top, I recognized that. But before he preached that sermon, he had folks to testify. Man got up behind me, leaned over me, big tall man. Leaned over and talked about how bad it was. Nobody wants anything. We're in a falling away. Going to have to borrow money to pay the bills. Never heard such a sad story. He said, another brother got up. I just want to say amen. Amen to the same. Well, they didn't want me there. The presbyter said I couldn't put a church there. Amen. And I knew I'm this unwanted boy on that block. And I wasn't going to say nothing, but I didn't volunteer that. I'm just up. Amen. I'm up. And I said, it don't have to be that way, brother. I didn't know it, but I got out in the aisle. I'm out here in the aisle. Oh, I said last night, I told what I just told you. There's 9 got the baptism of the Holy Ghost while we sing. Then I preached. Got the biggest offering ever got in that new church. Then 6 more got saved. Prayed 3 of them. 1 o'clock this morning. And all of a sudden, I recognize I'm the only one in that place shouting, brother. Everything quiet. I eased back in. Set myself down. This big fella got up again. He leaned over me. He said, it's been my observation after 40 years in Pentecost that those who demonstrate the most live the least. And he sat down. Fellow next to me said, ain't you going to get up? Why should I get up? He's a man borrowing that money, not me. Oh, no. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Oh, the church is in that warfare. You can't dig trenches. No, you don't put saints in a hole peeping out the devil, hoping you can hide from him. You don't isolate. We built gymnasiums and kept our kids with ice cream parties. We'd stuff their pockets full of tracks, set them down there to face the devil. Iron would have come into that soul, and you couldn't have prized them out of this thing. Amen. You're not kept for that kind of foolishness. I don't know whoever sold that lie to us. No victory, no revival. Many talk about the time falling away. This is a great theme for some. It's become a success for failure. A friend of mine said, he asked the pastor, how you doing? He said, wonderful. The church is going down slower than any I ever pastored. Men have been able to point to certain scriptures, say, this arena, we're not doing anything. That's a tragedy. when you take this book to justify your do nothing. Amen. This is a reason we're not doing anything. I was in Minsk in a conference, and there are hundreds of people there. He spent money. Well, nobody's going to pay for it. I said, you let them help. Why don't you take an offering? Been too certain. No offering. He said, well, they're too poor. I said, that's the reason they are poor. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but if you don't sow a seed, you ain't going to get no crop. And I said, I'm not giving nothing unless you receive an offering. If you don't want to, I will. Just give me permission. Why, when I got through, we had 200,000 rubles over the cost. That cow sitting there wanting to be milked, suffering terribly, telling them people, listen, told them people, it's a way out of this mess is a way of giving. There's no other way. There's no other way. The foolishness. But he's telling me the reason they don't receive an offering is the people are too poor. God can't bless them because he won't open them up to God. Amen. There's no possible way to hold your own. Darkness covers the earth. Just sit there in that church and the darkness will come over. Homosexuals will join your church, mister. They'll find that dark hole. Come in and sit down. You just sit there. And a church that don't have a mind for mission don't have his mind. The last thing he said to me was, go in all the world. And that church had sat there more interested in soft pews than it is the 2,000 million that never heard him. We'll never know anything about his mind. There's no way to hold our own. Hell never stops. It's pressing relentlessly against that church every minute of every day. Every institution proclaiming the true gospel is feeling the power of the enemy. You're hidden in a trench. You'll either be starved out, burned out, or give up from exhaustion. You try just going to quit. Why, you can do that. I'm telling you one thing. It's worse where you're going. And on quitting, you've got to stand up. I am not taking this any longer. Israel built them roads. Philistines come, took everything over. Now they won't let Israel walk on them roads. Walking on them, here come them Philistines on them big horses. They got to jump off in the ditch, their road. One day Shamgar said, I jumped the ditch the last time. It's the end of this. I'm jumping no more. I took an ox code and killed 600 of them. That's all God's ever asked was a Shamgar that says, I'm not moving no more. This is the Lord's. I'm not an intruder. They're the squatters. I don't have to worry about the money. They're counting mine. It's all his. Just walk with him, but you've got to believe him. But to believe him, we'll discover that Satan's not a real lion. He's been stripped. But you'll never know it till you challenge it. You'll never know this until you challenge it. I think we're on the verge of something big. But that something big is going to happen to people who are expecting something big to happen. Not the folks out there saying we've got to hold our own. No, no. It's going to happen to people that are believing that revival is coming. You'll never know when the old prophet said, you see me when I go, son, you'll have what you want. One day that chariot swept him up. He threw that overcoat out, and the young man took a hold of it. He didn't spin around and around hollering, I've got it, I've got it. He went down the river and found out he smote that river. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And them schoolboys said, why, the same spirit's on him. That's on that old man. You sit in a meeting like this, you pray your way through, tell the devil to come out, see if it works. You can go home and say, I hope this works. I wonder if I got any. I won't wonder nothing about it. You'll never heal sick till you lay hands on them. Devil never will listen to you. Tell him to go. It's only as you bold. 1967, Israel was outnumbered 100-1. Every nation after Egypt, they're going to put them. They're going to put them in that ocean. They said that Mediterranean is going to be red with that Jewish blood. Egypt, I was there. I come out of Africa 5 weeks. And my son, young son, and I, and in Egypt in the Hilton Hotel, thousands of Egyptians out there. We want war. We want war. Tanks are running through the street. They're heading for the Negev. Amen. Screaming they want war. We flew to Israel. At that time, Jordan owned most of Jerusalem. It was a divided city. And I went all in that Jordanian side. Man, there's concrete bunkers. There's bridges. But on the other side, they ain't a bunker, man. Let me tell you, on that little old nation of Israel, about 1 million people, there is not one one bunker. Let me tell you, not one bunker. You could hear the tanks out there in the Negev. And one of those ABC reporters talking to a tank commander, he said, "You think they're coming here?" He said, "No, sir." "Why are you so confident?" "Because we're going there, mister." "Oh, yes, we're going there. They're outnumbered 100-1. They know if they dig a trench, it's over with. Amen. They can't stand it. The wind, they struck on three fronts. And in a few days, 250,000 Egyptians are barefooted trying to get back to Egypt. Oh, listen, they climb the Golan Heights. A mountain goat couldn't get up there. But they poured them tanks down the trenches. Everywhere they went. Church, we must get out and move against the enemy. We're more than conquer. No weapon fought against us. But if we win, we've got to go. If we win, we can't sit here and fight a defensive war. We're outnumbered 1,000,000-1. I mean, across this earth, we are on the verge of God working. We must move with God. We must move. We'd better learn the lesson. Not a time to build a bunker. Time to enter the devil's back door and come out his front, telling him we've come to occupy. Not a day of defeat. It's a day of victory for those that are willing to take the chance. There's no defense except in a strong offense. My papa taught me, even the world, they know that. He said, "Keep looking for trouble. You watch it." He's a wise man. Said, "If him old eyes shaking, he's nervous. He ain't going to do nothing. But if they ever lock, boy, you hit him. And you hit him with water." He told me always, he said, "Don't be no fool. Don't ask no man outside. Hit him on the inside, boy." Hit him with whatever you can get your hands on. And once you've got him staggered, don't talk about no fair fight. He said, "You can fair fight. You may get him overalls torn. I can't buy them over them." But we're not going to win playing with the devil, hiding from the devil, digging a trench, hoping we can hold our own. You'll wake up every Sunday with less there. I'm telling you, and the ones that there are going to be terrified what's going on the outside. We don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Amen. We must stand up and believe God. Amen. We've lost ground. All during the Roman times, you read the history of Rome. You're in Rome, that city of Rome, there's a lot of excitement, a lot going on. Amen, you think everything's well, but out there, province after province is being lost. The heathen is closing in, folks. You living in Rome, in the heart of it, looks mighty well. You can sit down in some of this hoopla, and you think things is all right. I'm telling you, we've lost the university. You hear me? We started that. We've lost it. We've lost the working man. We've lost the labor. We've lost the youth. Province after province has been lost while we tried to hold our own. There's no such thing. Amen. We must know we've lost America, lost the young, because we tried to hide behind the walls. We tried to keep them with a gymnasium. I'm not a fool. I don't care if a church has 5 of them. But if that's what keeps your youth, that's their God, and they'll fold up like a deck of cards, house of cards, when the enemy strikes. They'll run. I watch the church. All the devil has to say is boo. They head for the suburbs. Oh, yes, sir. We're just put them songs up about what great warriors they are. Devil shoots at them. They're out there. I said the other night, I think so. I'll say so many things, so many places, don't know where I'm at when I say it. God told Paul, said, "You go down to Corinth." And the first thing he said, "Don't be afraid." This book being the book it is, there's got to be something in there to be afraid of. Or he never would say that, huh? Why would he tell them not to be afraid? If there's something there to be afraid of. If that had been us, I'd have got my brother. He's big. I said, "Now you go in and put this poster on the inside wall and slip right back up. We'll take no chances. But tell them they'd like to know something about this. We're going to have meetings out here tonight." Yeah, just come on outside. Trouble inside there. No, he said, "Don't be afraid." He went in. He went in. Most wicked city. It said it would cost a man 1,300 American dollars a day to have a day of pleasure in that city. They worship prostitution. It was as wicked. But God said, I've got a lot of people in there. Don't be afraid. Go in there. Go in there. You've got to tackle it. You've got to face it. Today, the biggest mission field maybe in the world is the inner city of America. And no churches are down there. Used to be, but the devil rose up, hollered boo at them. And now they're off out there with a lighted and guards and everything else around the place to protect the PA system. God help us, folks. We're here to rescue the perishing. Our only hope is to strike back. We must gain the offensive in this war. You hear me? We must gain the offensive. No revival, no victory. You can hide if you like. This has been the attitude of the church. As a result, look what's happened. On the other hand, look at the church in the beginning. On the day of Pentecost, it was born. 120 people filled with the Holy Ghost. As they moved out of that upper room, the world was shaken by it. They were afraid of nothing. They died everywhere, but they didn't care. Rome had 1,000 gods. Welcome the competition of any other god. If they'd have come out of that upper room and said, we'd like to put Jesus in that arena and see how it works out. They didn't come out and say, we want our God in competition. They said, there ain't no other God. All this other is false. You're wrong. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. There's no compromise. No, they locked up Peter, James, threw him in jail, cut off James's head one night, going to get Peter's the next. Amen. They come. I'm just sure they come. And said, if you'd like to live, we can let you out. You could get free. But what would you do if you got out? I'll go back to that street. I'll preach. That's what I'll do. Hey, I'll preach. I'm going to shout this name up and down these streets and across this earth. I'm going to scream it in the ears of men, whether they want to hear it or not. I'm going to tell men that there's an answer to this life. There's an answer. Amen. Rome had his gods, but they're not going to be in competition with it. They didn't mince words, didn't play with the devil. That let them know where they stood and that there was no alternative then or now. Nothing. Nothing has changed. We're outnumbered, outflanked, outgunned, but we're still victorious. Amen. Israel said, there are 100 million against us, but if we'll strike them quick enough, hard enough, they fought on three fronts. I went back in 1968 on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, looked across, saw there's almost the Damascus when we made them come back at one time, almost Egypt when the United Nations stood up, Russia stopped them, everything. Listen, they knew you can't win sitting here letting them come. You got to go where they are. We can occupy these four little walls, or we can move outside of these walls and look down the enemy's trench. Amen. We can shoot in the streets. We can proclaim the gospel. Brother Downs told me when I was out here before, he run into a fine black man ministering down the ghettos of Los Angeles. He told Brother Downs, he said, there's everything down there. He's down there the night or two before Brother Downs met him, and he said, this gray big man come up to him and said to him, man, I'm the devil. He said, I've got bad news for you, boy. Oh, I've got bad news for you, son. Yes, sir. No intimidation here. I said, oh, Brother Downs, if I ever have a church, get his name. Sure want him to hold me a meeting. That's my kind of man. Yes, sir. I said, that's my kind of man. Got bad news for you, devil. Amen. Oh, church, we've got the answer. I said, we've got the answer. We need to stand up. Let him know. I got bad news for you, son. I got bad news here. Jesus has won the victory. We can turn the gospel down the streets. We can shout in the city until every anti-God system shakes under the power of this gospel. The enemy's dug in. He feels his position is secure. He sold the church to lie. They should sit down, hold its own, someplace, sometime, somewhere. God would send some kind of revival. Hell never sold a bigger lie. Revival is prompted by men that move. Every revival that's ever come has come by men that stood up and says, I'm not staying here no longer. I'm not going back and die with that religious crowd. I'm not going to sit outside this gate and die. I'm going to walk out against them Assyrians. I'm going down there and give it a challenge. That's the people that have brought the victory. God defeated a whole army with a choir that wasn't afraid to march and sing. Listen, any, whatever God chooses is more than the devil. Revival comes. Pentecost came to 120 because they obeyed the word of God and waited. There's no victory that cannot be won. There's an enemy. There's no enemy that cannot be routed if we're willing to move with God. Now, World War II, Japanese had some of them islands for so long. When we went to Gloucester, when we got in, trees 50 years old had grew up in those dugouts were there. When we came to Gloucester, our intelligence, those Navy SEALs, said it'll be 85% casualties. It's an island they thought we needed, and said 85% casualties the first waves to assault that have been dug in for 75 years. There's no other route but a swamp coming around behind. Human can't live in that. Our old colonel said we can live in it. Amen. They dumped us off in the back 4 days. I lived in that swamp. That tannic acid took the hide off our legs. We slept on cypress stumps. But I'm going to tell you, the fourth day we come out behind him and destroyed him to the man. I said, destroyed him to the man. Oh, don't talk about what we can't do. We can do anything God told us to do. We can go anywhere God told us to go. Cast out any devil gets in the way. Amen. That's what Nehemiah was told by God. He said, I'll just run over him. Amen. If you don't get him down, make him part of the road. He'll not be a bump in your way. If you move, I'll move with you. But he's not going to move with you sitting there with your temper to a running up and down, whether you got 50 or 70 in Sunday school. That hasn't got anything to do with it. There's an enemy out there that has to be challenged. We never believed in defeat. That Marine Corps never believed. I joined that outfit in 1942. From the day I joined until the war was over, I never heard a pessimistic note. I never heard one of them say, we're up against something we can't happen. Amen. You know, they tell a little old squad of seven men totally surrounded by hundreds of enemy. And the corporal said, boys, we've got them where we want them now. Let's get after them. We finally got them where they want them. They're all bunched in one place. Let's get on with it. But I listened to that. There's no enemy, they said, we can't defeat. No island we can't take. No beach we can't get on. Some of us will die, but we'll get there. The enemy could not prepare enough to keep us out. We'd get there, and we'd do what we're supposed to do when we get there. Now, this was a propaganda, and I ate it every morning for breakfast, every night before we went to bed. They fed it. Don't worry, boy, we're going. There's no place we can't go. There's nothing we can't do that we have to do when we get there. I believe that because every day they told me that, every night. I'm going to give you something now that's not just propaganda. I want to tell you, it's not propaganda. Hell will never build a stronghold that the church can't kick down. Oh, no, it'll never build it. Hallelujah. And, oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There'll never be a wall of Jericho that won't crumble if you walk around it. There'll never be a Red Sea you can't cross if you'll get in it. There'll never be a Jordan that won't dry up if we'll walk into its water. There's no devil we can't cast out. No sickness we can't heal. No city we cannot invade. We're more than conquerors in him that's called us the church of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand and worship him tonight. Oh, my God and my Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. More than conquerors in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Oh, I tell you, I want to re-enlist tonight. Thank God I'm going to sign up for another term. I'm in for the long haul. Amen. I was preaching one night at a convention. There's about 70 preachers. About the middle of it, I was preaching an old message on soldiers. And a man got up and run down and said, oh, my God, I'm re-enlisting. He said, oh, it broke out. I'm re-enlisting. I'm re-upping, man. You know, yes, sir, I'm re-upping. That's me tonight. I'm re-enlisting. I can see the victory down the road. That's the enemy bunched against us. But, oh, we're going to mock on him. We're going to make him a part of the road, folks. We can go, and we can do. They will be Stevens. You can believe that. Mark it down. They will be Stevens. But we can go, and we can do, and we can be. Preached at camp meeting in New Mexico. Oh, we had a time. A friend of mine called the superintendent. Said, did you have? I was at camp meeting. Brother Clendenin. Oh, he said, it was good. He said, wasn't many people got saved. He said, a lot of them joined the Marine Corps. Right up to this open. Hallelujah. We're not joining no Marine Corps. We're joining this army. Some of you, not yet quite fully equipped, you need the Holy Ghost. You must be here. He didn't suggest you ought to be. He said, be here. That's present tense. Some of you were filled yesterday, but you need to be filled now. It isn't what happened to you yesterday. He said, they which are alive and remain alive, not those that used to be. Some folks talk about, they talked in tongues 25 years ago. You ought to talk in tongues 25 minutes ago. Amen. It's an up-to-date experience. If you're going to win, it isn't what you used to be. God said, don't holler to temple to me. Just remember Shiloh. There ain't nothing left down there. Amen. Don't talk about, I'm Pentecost, raised Pentecost. It don't make a difference what you was raised, what you are. Amen. Grandma may have been a great warrior, but how about you? You just, the heritage is nothing if you don't have it. It's not something. There ain't no grandchildren in this. Everybody is a born son, a field son. And tonight, if you're not saved, listen, this is a place. Oh, you're talking about the victory. You're talking about the only thing that's going to survive is a church of the living God. All hell's about to break loose on this planet. You think it's bad tonight, but it'll be like a choir party as to what it's going to be when we get out of here. There's coming trouble, folks, bad trouble. Only the thing that can survive and keep going is this church of the living God, full of the Holy Ghost, facing up to the enemy. We cannot be defeated. I said we cannot be defeated. We are His body, and we're here for the long haul.